I greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, and the name that is worthy to be praised in all eternity. In that name I greet you, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you for that very fitting opening for the message this morning. Many of you may remember, if you'd been listening to the messages that we did on audio when we couldn't come together, and I want to continue on the second message on 1 John chapter 2 today. God's word is so precious, and this is just the word of the living God. In this word, the first song we sang, number 25, talked about, talk to me through your word. It was just so fitting that this the Lord talks to us through his word, and that is the goal today, that he will talk again through his word and through the words of the Apostle John. This word of life will cleanse us from this darkness, and if we let this precious word of God have the authority in our life, this will do some big things in our life. It will transfer our life. It will just change our life from darkness to light. That is a precious word that we can come together and bow under this word. My prayer today is that this word of God, the Bible that most of you guys are holding in your hands, will have the authority in your life. That is the only way God can talk to us, if we let this word, this precious word of the living God, have the authority, the saying in our life. That is the goal too that John is saying here in this letter to the believers. So as I said, we're going to continue in chapter 2, but I want to look a little bit back to chapter 1, since it's been a while, just to get all of this together. And as we see in this first chapter, John is just enjoying this fellowship with the word of life. In verse 1, he says that he has touched something. He has seen with his own eyes. And he says that is the word of life. That is concerning the word of life. He talks about Jesus that he had walked with over 3 years. He had watched all of these miracles done by this word of life, and that is what he's so excited about, and he wants his fellow believers to know this too and have fellowship with this word of life. This light, this word of life, and this light will reveal darkness. And last time we looked more on the personal encounter that John had with this word of life, and we'll just scan a little bit over chapter 1. In the first 4 verses, he talks about how he has encountered Jesus personally, and that this is just so big to John, that he says that this word that was with God, and in the Gospel of John, the same person, he writes that in the first chapter, he writes that this word became flesh. And then he says that this word was by God, and through this word everything is made. And then he goes on, and then he says that this word became flesh, became human. And he says this word was full of righteousness and truth. That is, it's just so big. I'm just seeing John as he wants to share this, how big this word of life is to him, that he says that we have touched. And then in verse 3, he says that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the goal of John, that his fellow believers have the same fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ. He says, if you have fellowship with us, we have fellowship with the Father. With this Jesus, with this word of life that he had touched, that he had seen, that he had embraced, that he had leaned onto. And he says, this in verse 4 is the key, what I would call the key. He says, this is the purpose that I've written this. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full in the word of life that comes by having fellowship with this word. Now he, in the next 5 verses, he goes on in his message and declares how God is the light and that there's absolutely no darkness in the light. Now, if we understand what light is and what darkness is, we know that that doesn't work together. If there's light, light will drive out the darkness. There's no room for this darkness. Where the light can shine, darkness disappears. And he is talking about the light, Jesus, and the darkness, sin. There is absolutely no darkness in God. And then he goes on and talks about this darkness, how people live in this darkness, and if they live in this darkness, they don't practice the truth. Verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light and as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all the sin. In verse 8, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we're so perfect, we don't have any sin, that we don't live in a sinful body, that we deceive ourselves. Now he's talking about that we have to admit that we are sinners, that we come short before this holy God, before the word of life. And then in verse 9 is a beautiful verse. In that word there, I'll read the verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Verse 9, there is that key word, if we confess, if we're ready to admit, to confess, then he is ready to forgive. And the main thing I brought out of verse 9 is the moment you and I are ready to confess, in that very moment, Jesus is ready to forgive. He is just and he is righteous. And if you and I are ready to confess our sins, Jesus has to forgive us. Because he cannot be unjust and he cannot be unfaithful. Jesus has never been there where he has been unfaithful or unjust. He can't be there. And if you and I make this first step to confess, Jesus will cleanse us. He will forgive us. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then he goes back to this next step and he says, but if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. And then here in today's message, he tells us that we actually are liars. Let's continue in chapter 2 and we'll read the first 6 verses and then we'll take step by step. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to live also. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We're going to take the first 2 verses first, and then we'll take the rest. So here in the first thing we see here is that he writes, my little children. This church family that John is writing to is like his personal family. This is his family that this church was. And he writes as a father to them. And what does he write? He writes about a danger that they should stay away from. I just made this picture in my head that, you know, John writes, my little children, and he's writing to young believers that are in Christ, that are having this fellowship, but that he tells them about this sin, this disease called sin, and he says, my little children. And I just pictured, if you have a 2-year-old child and you have a 15-year-old, for example, and you see this 2-year-old coming close to a very dangerous place, and you see a 15 or 18-year-old or an adult, which one are you going to be more worried about? It's about this little child that doesn't know. If you see them on the edge of a very dangerous place, you're going to do everything you can to remove them. But this person that already has knowledge, that knows what this place is going to be, you're confident. Yeah, he knows what it's. He knows he doesn't need to go there. That is what John tells these little children, these young believers. Don't go in this thing called sin, that you may not sin. This is a dangerous place. A dangerous place that is going to harm you, and that is called sin. Like we already read in chapter 1 and verse 6, where he says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The title for the message is going to be, do not sin, that you may not sin. That is John's goal here, to share this with his believers. I put the word in there, please don't sin, that you may not sin, because this is a disease way worse than the disease we're living in today. John says, if we say that we have fellowship with the word of life, with this light, and we walk in the darkness, the truth is not in us. We don't practice the truth. By practicing the truth, darkness will disappear. By living in the light, darkness has to disappear. These two don't go together. In our days today, we hear a lot of things. People start calling sin freedom. We don't see that here in what John is trying to share us. Sin is a terrible disease, and he says, stay away from this terrible disease. Jesus, the light, has come to redeem us from this disease, from this sin, from the darkness. And Paul writes to the, I believe it's the Corinthians, he says, how can light have fellowship with darkness? How can God have fellowship with the idols of this world? How can Jesus Christ have fellowship with sin? How can the light, which is Jesus, have fellowship with this sin, with this darkness? There is absolutely no fellowship there. It is impossible. If you let the light come into your life, into your heart, it will drive out darkness. Darkness, we see this over and over in the First John, in the letter to First John, that John calls the sin darkness. This darkness that has to be driven out by the light. And being redeemed from this sin, from this darkness, you run away from this sin. And that is, if we let the Word of God be over our life, that it has the authority. I don't know of anybody that has been slaved like they used to be. Maybe there is still people. But I try to picture a person that maybe was slaved in a place where he had to be under very, very hard labor, got treated very bad. You know, Brother Frank sometimes uses this picture of this boy in Juarez on the streets. But this person that is in this place under slavery, in this person, it'd be the dream for this person to hear, "I am free." If he was slave to this darkness, and someone came up to him, he says, "The fine is paid, you're out of here." I think it's common sense for us to think that that person would pack up and get out of there. He would enjoy his free life. And that is what sin is. And sin sometimes is so deceiving that it looks like freedom, and people call it freedom, but it is slavery. It will put us into slavery, and it will harm us. And that, what I see in here is John is trying to warn us, do not sin, because this is going to put you under pressure, and it is going to just going to destroy your life. And that is what sin does. It will bring you a miserable life, and this life will, this sin will just tear up your life. It has teared up so many marriages, so many youth lives, so many personal lives. And John is warning us, do not sin. That is the main point that I want to drive home today. Do not sin. These first two verses, I've heard people justifying themselves with these verses. Well, I can sin. Jesus is my advocate. He's my mediator. He'll take care of it. He's with the Father. But John has this word in here, do not sin. He's talking about three, in this letter, I noticed three types of sin that John, or in three different ways that a person can sin. One is that a person sins, and second is that a person doesn't want to sin but still sins, and then the third is like a person says, "We don't have any sin." So the first thing he talks over here in verse 6, he talks about walking in the darkness, walking in sin, living in sin. And then second is that he talks about how we have sinned and that we have to admit, that we have to confess our sins, and then that Jesus forgives that. And then he talks about the third thing. If we say we have no sin, we're a liar. And then people seem to take these verses and take them as freedom. Jesus has come to make us free from this. And it has to do, I think, with one thing. And then Jesus tells us that in John chapter 3 and verse 19. Let's turn to the Gospel of John. Verse 19 through 21. Let's read verse 19 and then we'll go on. Here Jesus has this conversation with Nicodemus, this Pharisee that came by night and had some questions, and Jesus declares some things. And he says here that, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Jesus is telling Nicodemus that people love sin more than they love Jesus. They love sin more than God. And that this light, they didn't want the light. Verse 20, he says, "For everyone practices evil, hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." He says, "For everyone practices evil, hates the light." That is what John is saying. If you live in darkness, you hate the light. Because if you live in darkness, if you live in sin, the light is going to reveal that darkness. I think the question should be on me and you. Do we love darkness or light? Which one of those? They can't be together. If we walk in the light, light will cast out this darkness. But if we walk in the darkness, we hate the light. And the darkness is sin. And the light is Jesus, the Son of God. Verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. He who does the truth comes to the light. If we love the truth, if we love Jesus, we're going to be in the light. Because he says that your deeds are done in the light. Darkness doesn't want to be revealed by the light, but the light will reveal darkness. It will disappear. It was so interesting to me to look into this letter of John where he draws this picture, and I don't think they had switches like we do today. But John knew light, and he's very clear about that. If light comes into darkness, it disappears. If you come with, let's say, a box of darkness into a room of light, that darkness stays in that box until you open that box. And until you open that box, light cannot do anything about that darkness. And that is also what John is telling us. Do not live in this darkness, but let light drive out this darkness. Jesus is telling Nicodemus in this chapter 3 of the Gospel of John that that is what born again means. Being born again is loving the light more than darkness. Loving Jesus, the Son of God, more than the sin. John is saying, stay away from sin. And I'm just imagining John walking with Jesus for over 3 years. And he had seen with his own eyes. He had touched with his own hands. And he had seen the Son of God go onto the cross because of sin. And then he says, do not sin. John had experienced this with his own eyes. I can't imagine what John was all thinking. I think if we know us all personally, we all, if we're honest with each other, we would all say that we have our shortcomings, and we do. We all have our shortcomings. Either we live in darkness or we have our shortcomings. And can you imagine John thinking back on the encounter he had with this Word of Life with Jesus? And then he couldn't recall one sin, one shortcoming of this Jesus. Most of us, if we have good friends, we can, here or there, we would see he has a shortcoming here, he has a shortcoming there. We all do. But this good friend of John didn't have that. And that's the next step he talks about, this his friend, this Word of Life that was righteous, that he had watched going onto the cross to pay for our sins, and that we don't have to live in sin anymore. That we can be redeemed by this Word of Life. Let's go back to 1 John. Let's read verse 1 again. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, the mediator. We have a mediator with the Father. This mediator is, we're going to look at a word in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 21. Let's turn there. Is where Paul talks about Jesus too. And here is where he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 21, he says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This is what John watched. He watched God making his son that knew of no sin take up the sins of this world up on his shoulders and take this walk to Calvary. That got bruised, like Isaiah tells us, that got bruised for our transgressions. Like I already said, John couldn't recall of one sin of Jesus, and he still watched him go to this cross and take this cross up on him and make that payment for the sin, so that me and you wouldn't have to live in sin anymore. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. In verse 23-25, here Paul says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because of his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed." Here Paul talks about how Jesus has also paid the sins that were previously committed, like all the sins. John says over here in 1 John that, and verse 2, he says, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Jesus was that, took that step to be this perfect mediator for me and you, so that we can come before him and confess our sins, that we don't have to live in this darkness anymore. Back over here in verse 4 in 1 John, he says, "I have written these things to you that your joy may be full." Is yours and my joy full? We will only have full joy in the Son of God, in Jesus, by living in the light and being cleansed from the darkness. Let's go to verse 3 through verse 6. We'll read it one more time. "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we know him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Here John is saying that you're going to see a fruit. You're going to see a fruit of he who walks with him. "By this we will know that if we love his commandments," if we keep his commandments, that means if we love God's commandments. And then he goes on and says, but there's going to be some that are going to say, "I know him, but does not keep his commandments, he is a liar. See, here he turns it back and turns it up on us. If we say we keep his commandments and we don't, then we are liars. I think if someone would come into our face and say, "You're a liar," we'd kind of be offended, right? We wouldn't like that. John is doing that to us. He says, if you say, "I know him," and do not keep his commandments, you are a liar. Do we love his commandments? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. I think John is thinking about some words that he heard from Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Let's read from verse 16 through verse 20. And here Jesus is talking about this tree of fruit. Let me just say this. We know what the Bible says, do not judge that you will not be judged. We should not judge. But the Bible tells us to look at the fruit. And Jesus says it right here. Verse 16 of verse 20. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn brushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Here Jesus is talking about that you will know them by their fruits. As I was reading this, I remembered a while back, maybe a year ago, I was coming from work one evening, and if you know West Texas, you know we have a lot of mesquites. I was driving down the road, and I was watching all of these mesquite bushes going by. And this thought came to my mind. How long would it take for me to sit at a mesquite tree and try to convince myself and that mesquite tree to be an apple tree? How long would that take? These thorns that these bushes have, try to convince myself that is an apple. Let's just say a fruit. How long would it take to do that? I think we would be amazed if we would go down the road and see this mesquite bush, full of apples or fruit. We would say, this doesn't make sense. And that is what Jesus is saying here. Either you're a good tree or you're a bad tree. Either you have fruit or you have thorns. He says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Back here in 1 John, he says that we will know. Now, by this you will know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That what he has said. And he goes farther here in verse, let's read verse 21 through verse 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here Jesus is saying that not everyone that will say, Lord, Lord, will come into the kingdom of heaven, but just those that do the will of the Father, that keep his commandments, those will come into the kingdom of God. Do me and you love the commandments of God more than the freedom of this world? This letter makes it very clear that we cannot be in the light and in the darkness at the same time. He says, that doesn't make sense. You're a liar like that. That goes deep into me that if we talk about a tree, that Jesus says, I will come and seek the fruit. The last verse we'll go to is Luke chapter 13. Verse 6 through 9. Here Jesus is telling this parable of the fig tree, of this barren fig tree, and he says in verse 6, he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this 1 year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. I wonder how many times the Almighty Father, the Almighty God, has said, go and cut that tree down. It looks like a fig tree, but it doesn't have any fruit. I wonder how many times God has been on this tree of me and you. We are all trees. And has ordered to cut it down. And then Jesus intercedes for that. He says, sir, let it one more year. And see, I'll fertilize it. I'll see if they accept my word. But if it doesn't bear fruit this year, then we'll cut it down. In this parable, Jesus shares this man that owned this vineyard had come 3 years. And this keeper asked for one more year. How many times has the keeper of our vineyard asked for one more year? He who loves the Lord will keep his commandments. May God bless his word. May he bless all of you. Thank you. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you've spoken to us through the Apostle John. And Lord, help us look into our own lives and see if we have any kind of darkness, we have any corners in our life that we should open up so the light can drive this darkness out. And Lord, I pray that you would grant mercy to us, that we would live in the light, that we will take your commandments, your word, and let it be your word, and have your word, let your word be the authority over our life. Lord, I thank you and ask you that you would bless your word, your name. Amen.